Welcome to the market, sponsored by the CME Group. Dateline, Scottsdale, Arizona, on Friday, September 29. Hello, everyone. Orion Samuelson here, along with Max Armstrong, for our weekly get-together to take a look at markets all the way from Wall Street to the wheat fields of Kansas. And a week doesn't go by that doesn't have some interesting factors playing on any and all of the markets. But because today is the last day of the month, the last day of the quarter, and the last day of the week, there are some numbers that we'll touch right at the beginning. The changes. For the week, the S&P rose 0.2%. The Dow added 0.25%. The NASDAQ gained 1.07%. And then for the month, the S&P up 2%. The Dow up 2.1%. The NASDAQ gained 1% for the month. For the quarter, the S&P rose 4%. The Dow added 4.9%. And the NASDAQ gained 5.8%. All in all, it wasn't certainly the worst week or the worst month or the worst quarter that we've seen. But what happened today? Well, the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ advanced to record levels today, helped by gains in technology stocks, while each of the major indices closed out the quarter with solid gains. Technology, the best performing of the major S&P sectors, up 0.75% today, its fourth straight day of gains to recover from a sell-off earlier in the week. And the S&P and the NASDAQ closed at records for the third straight day. The benchmark S&P posted its sixth straight month of gains. One investor said, "This is one of the least volatile Septembers in history. It is kind of a continuation of that real dull trading with a nice upward basis. It really sums up kind of what we saw all month and all quarter. Another calm day." And so financials received a brief lift and hit their session high after reports. President Trump met with former Federal Reserve Governor Kevin Warsh to discuss his potential nomination as Fed chairman. Trump later said he had four meetings in his search for a new chairman of the Federal Reserve Board and will decide in 2 or 3 weeks. And he added the comment he may continue with Chair Yellen. Rates and equities have priced in the current Fed regime continuing, which is a relatively quiet path for the economy. But one trader said any deviation from that path or the suggestion that Yellen may not be reappointed then causes the market to reconsider this presumption and to reprice valuations. Data today showed U.S. consumer spending barely rose in August, but the report did little change to change the expectations the central bank would raise interest rates again in December. Another report showed the Chicago Purchasing Managers' Index, which gauges factory activity, came in better than expected. The S&P and the Dow recorded 8 straight quarters of gains, the NASDAQ 5. And the big action today from meat processor Tyson Foods. Its stock was up 7.75% after the company raised its full-year profit forecast, and the stock was the biggest gainer on the S&P 500. So that's what happened today. Now let's take a look at what could happen next week. Going to be a busy week for Federal Reserve governors from the regions of the Federal Reserve. It looks like most of them will be on the speaking circuit, so that means they'll be watching what each of these governors have to say. And then the other activity that we'll be looking at, some earnings reports. The earnings report of Monsanto. And that one will be watched with a great deal of interest because of the challenge facing its herbicide-tolerant biotech soybeans known as Xtend. and the accompanying herbicide that has been blamed for damaging thousands of acres of non-tolerant crops in the southern United States. In addition to that, of course, they're undergoing the ownership at Monsanto, and that has slowed down, I think, just a little bit, according to some of the reports that we have been getting. Other reports that will be watched, PepsiCo is expected to report its third quarter results on Wednesday. The beverage and snacks maker had raised its full-year adjusted profit forecast in July. Lenner Corporation, the number two U.S. home builder, expected to report an increase in revenue for the third quarter on Tuesday as demand for housing remains robust. However, quarterly profit expected to drop, and the entire housing industry waiting to see what will happen to home building in the light of the hurricane weather in the southeast and in the Gulf. Ford's new CEO, Jim Hackett, has scheduled an investor meeting in New York on Tuesday. Earlier, he told investors he would outline a new strategy for the automaker after about 100 days in charge. Ford shares are down 11% for the year amid doubts about the company's strategy to weather a downturn in the U.S. market and longer-term challenges from Tesla, regulators, and Silicon Valley self-driving car ventures. Constellation Brands will report second quarter results, and warehouse club retailer Costco Corporation releases fourth quarter results on Thursday. Now, Costco has done well amid weak sales from other retailers, driven by higher membership fees and strong demand for food, appliances, and home furnishings. The company is also adding more product categories and improving its website to boost online sales. And, of course, many people like me go to Costco regularly because of their gasoline prices. Speaking of gasoline, crude oil prices ended up higher today after a rally in prices around the geopolitical instability in Iraqi Kurdistan. And it helped Brent make its strongest third quarter price performance going all the way back to 2004. The global benchmark Brent crude closed up 13 cents at $57.54 a barrel. That notched a third quarter gain of about 20%. And on the week, Brent was up 1.2%. Meanwhile, the U.S. crude closed up 11 cents to settle at $51.67 a barrel. That's its strongest third quarter in 10 years and its longest streak of weekly gains since January. U.S. crude was up about 2% for the week. Looking at some of the other happenings that made news in the stock market, the housing industry that really now is being impacted and by something that wasn't expected at the beginning of the year, and that's the weather. The pending home sales dropped about 2.6% in August. That's contracts to buy previously owned homes down more than expected to their lowest level in about a year and a half. The National Association of Realtors said its pending home sales index based on contracts signed last month dropped 2.6%. And given the contraction and the likely slowing of activity in areas affected by Hurricanes Harvey and Irma, the National Association of Realtors said it now expects existing home sales this year to be below the 2016 level. And then what about the new home sales? Single-family homes, unexpectedly down in August, hitting their lowest level in 8 months. The Commerce Department said new home sales went down 3.4% to an annual rate of 560,000 units last month. That was the lowest level since December of 2016. New home sales, which are drawn from permits, are volatile on a month-to-month basis. Sales were down 1.2% on a year-on-year basis in August. And again, we don't know the ultimate results on the housing industry of Hurricanes Harvey and Irma. And D.R. Horton, the number one U.S. home builder, drastically cut its 2017 forecast for cash flow from operations due to delays caused by the recent hurricanes. So we continue to see the impact of the weather on the economy and particularly on the housing industry. Chicago-based Boeing in a little bit of difficulty in relations with Britain. Britain told the U.S. plane maker Boeing that it could lose out on British defense contracts because of its dispute with Canadian rival Bombardier, which has put 4,200 jobs at risk in Northern Ireland. The U.S. Department of Commerce on Tuesday imposed a 220% duty on Bombardier's C-Series jets. Those airplane wings for that airplane are made at a plant in Belfast. And this comes following a complaint by Boeing, which accuses Canada of unfairly subsidizing Bombardier. This foreign trade activity, whether it's agriculture or anything else, does get very complicated. Well, what about the markets for agricultural products? What about the weather and its impact? We'll be finding out about that when Max Armstrong sits down to visit with Steve Georgie of Allendale in McHenry, Illinois, when we continue on the market sponsored by the CME Group.
For more than 150 years, CME Group has been built with your confidence. Without it, we simply wouldn't be in business. Today, we continue to work on new and better ways to protect you and grow your confidence in the markets. After all, it's our vigilance that brings you the peace of mind you need today and in the future. CME Group. Advance with confidence.
Well, this harvest weekend, we're talking with Steve Georgie from Allendale, who's come by our studio to visit at a very busy time. I bet farmers still check in with you, though, don't they, Steve?
They do all the time, even on the weekends.
What are you hearing? Well, first of all, let's talk about the progress on the harvest, what you're hearing from across the wide area that that you serve, and what the growers are telling you about their ability to get into the field or not.
Yes. Well, you know, with the drier temperature or the drier bias that's come through the Midwest here recently, it's given an opportunity to get out in the fields. If it's ready, they're going to get it. The early planted stuff looks really good. From what we've been hearing, the early harvest yields have been coming in better than expected, is the word that's being thrown around. So a little bit more friendlier for these guys, and bigger crops is what we've heard. So USDA, for the last several reports, everybody's been questioning what they have said, the bigger yields, some of the moves they've made. Now that's kind of tempered back a little bit, that maybe these guys aren't too far off, but it is still the early stuff. This is the early stage of harvest. We had a lot of replant out there, and that as we get further and deeper into harvest, they're getting the good stuff first. So we'll have to see what kind of yields we get as we get deeper into harvest and really see what's out there.
Did you ever see a crop report more doubted by farmers than that August crop report?
No, I have not.
And then the USDA came along in September and said, yep, it is there.
Guys, I wasn't kidding. Okay, it's still there. And so you start to hear, though, as these farmers and as these producers get in the field, it is a sense of concern. What do I do with it all? A lot of this old crop has been moved, and a lot of these elevators and more of these commercials holding a good deal of grain already. Now we've got a big crop right behind it. The next thought is, what do I do with it?
Some of that, I know, in commercial facilities has been moved out of bins and out onto the ground. And
yes.
So it's very visible out there, a visible reminder of how much we have already, I mean, at this early stage.
And that's where if USDA is correct, and if we continue and see this consistency through harvest, yes, we're going to have a problem on our hands. What do we do with all of it? Do you store it? Do you sell it? We know prices are very low. And basis is extremely wide out in the country. And so as a producer that has to just sell it, you've got bills to pay. There's a lot of things that have to happen. But that question of what do I do with it, it's going to be more of a concern as we get deeper into harvest.
What's your sense of the stress, the financial stress that growers are going through right now? Obviously, you may be, you may tend to visit with the cream of the crop in your clientele, but what's the feeling you get?
Well, you know, it is, it's an issue. This is now going on the third year of seeing these at break-evens or below break-evens for a lot of areas, and this year as well, you know, specifically for corn. Beans, on the other hand, you've gotten some opportunities. There may be some opportunities yet ahead, but for corn, never really were you're never able to get above water here this year. And so producers aren't out there to farm in order to take a loss. But there is such an abundant supply of it right now that it is, as you say, stress. It's very stressful because what do you do? And now they're making decisions when they don't want to. This is definitely a buyer's market, not a seller's market. And so that's why it is going to remain stressful this year, not only for the producer, but also the banker out there as well that's wondering, what kind of a loan am I putting together here? How can we be selling this at such a low cost? And what are our needs moving forward? So this is not just the producer problem. Now it's also, we're hearing stressing these banks as well.
Farmers do like harvest. I was reminded the other day. I put out, I did a little Twitter quiz on this, and 80% of the growers said they prefer the harvest season over the planting season.
Yes.
I thought maybe it'd be even more lopsided than that, but you know, there was 20% that I guess you know like to see the end of cabin fever in the spring and get out and smell the fresh air and the developing plants.
Well, you get
flora.
You get to see that hard work that they've put in order to grow this crop, and that's they get to see the success of it, and that is where it is a much better feeling during harvest than it is during planting season.
And if you do get some friendly yield surprises off that yield monitor, as you indicate, and as we've been hearing, too, from some of the growers in the field here in the early part of harvest, that helps, too, doesn't it?
It sure does. You know, and it also helps, though, when we get a market or we get prices to gain a little bit. And in the month of October, we tend to see a little bit of a bounce. And whether or not you want to call it because of insurance prices, which sit at $3.96 right now for corn and above $10 in the beans. But when you have a big crop, that doesn't really matter so much. The focus this year will be on South America. South America dives into a lot of their planning in the month of October. Right now, you've got a lot of talk out there that this La Nina is going to start setting in again and bring more of a drier bias down to areas of South America. And so we know bean demand has been strong. We need to see demand pick up for corn. Can this drier bias now move in and give us some hope where we have a huge crop here domestically? Can we get prices to rally and have an opportunity to become profitable again? Right now, that's almost what it's going to have to take.
Since you mentioned South America, are they still moving some of this year's crop that they harvested? And I ask you because, you know, in terms of soybeans, we're selling a good amount right now.
You know, our time is now, though. When we look at our price versus South American prices, we still are very competitive, if not actually under South America's price. We just had this past week, 3 million metric tons is what we had just sold. That is a record sales for this time. But we also have to think of it. We're still about 50 million bushel behind the pace that USDA currently has us on. USDA's number this year for exports alone is a record amount. Well, we need to. We know we've had big sales. We've had record sales as well or record yields. So we have to move this, but we are. And so even though these sales look really big and our time is right now to be making these sales, we still are a little bit behind pace from what USDA has said.
What kind of thoughts do you share with the growers about strategy here as they're picking your brain when they call in from the cab?
You know, and it's tough. It's a very, very hard situation for producers because what do you do? A lot of this old crop had to be sold because farmers needed cash. So they do have rooms in the bins. Guys will be storing this crop, especially for corn. I'm hearing a lot of guys out there moving beans, pricing beans, because they can get more for them. You've got a good yield out there and you've got bills to pay. And so what are you going to sell? Corn, which really is not profitable, they're storing that again. You've got to be careful doing that. We saw what happened last year. Prices were just unable to rally or get any kind of feed under them because we had such a massive amount. Well, we are going to do that again unless we see demand pick up. So right now, guys are selling beans, trying to find ways to sell corn as well. If you have to make sales, re-own it. But re-own it later into next year. Because this year, as it sits right now, we've got big crops. The markets probably are going to remain kind of stale. But prepare for that larger move and give yourself an opportunity to gain something on that crop that you had to sell because you needed some cash.
October, you say, as you indicated earlier, might provide a little bit of opportunity for
it. Typically
moving
does.
Some crop.
Yeah, historically we get a little bit of a bounce. Usually it's that early part of October, as far as the beans, usually around the 2nd. And for corn, it's a little later, maybe around 7th to the 10th, where we do get a recovery for that for the month of October. You get a lot of farmers that talk because of insurance, as I mentioned, or it is that primary focus now on South America. What do they look like? And as I mentioned, the bean rally, it's because of our demand. That demand machine kicks on here. Our prices are low enough. We've gotten into harvest, and now we've generated some momentum. And that gives us this rally for October. And so if you have to sell it or if you can hang on to it, look for a little bounce here in October in order to make those sales.
It strikes me that those dates generally, not by much, but a little bit, precede the October crop report.
Yeah,
are there any generalities that you've seen in the past from USDA's October release?
You know, from our research and what we've done, as much as I even hate saying it, but usually bigger crops get bigger. Smaller crops get smaller. When USDA's putting out this idea that we're going to end up seeing great yields out there, now we are, tendency is that that crop ends up getting bigger or doesn't move too much. So you can't really look for a drastic change out of that October report. It's probably going to have to be any significant change will be on the January, the final numbers in January. So we may have to wait a while in order to see some kind of major change out of USDA.
Yeah, some of us looked at that August report when it came up. Yep, it's going to be the highest numbers of the year here.
I was one of them that said the exact same thing, but, you know, who knows? But as we get into these reports, USDA is in this, they're in this mode right now where these crops are there. And unless we see something different than what we're hearing out in the fields, they probably aren't going to change much either.
Steve Georgie from Allendale Incorporated.
For more than 150 years, CME Group has been built with your confidence. Without it, we simply wouldn't be in business. Today, we continue to work on new and better ways to protect you and grow your confidence in the markets. After all, it's our vigilance that brings you the peace of mind you need today and in the future. CME Group. Advance with confidence.
Well, we received a lot of information from the U.S. Department of Agriculture this week with the quarterly pig crop report, and that was almost negative, pretty much what traders expected, about a 2.1% increase in the number of hogs on U.S. farms as of September 1st. And then today we came up with the September corn and soybean ending stocks that were up sharply, but still came in below market forecasts. The stockpiles of corn and soybeans in the U.S. ballooned in the marketing year ended September 1st as the massive supply base outstripped robust demand. In its quarterly stocks report, USDA reported that domestic corn ending stocks rose 32% from a year earlier to their highest level since 1988. Soybean ending stocks up 53%, higher than September 1st of 2016, came in at a 10-year high. But usage of corn and soybeans during June, July, and August, the second highest ever for the period, coming in just below record levels set during the summer of 2016. And USDA said corn disappearance totaled 2.9 billion bushels and soybean disappearance totaled 665 million bushels. The wheat stocks as of September 1 dropped to 2,253 million bushels as U.S. production dropped off amid rising global production. But all in all, the pig crop report and the supply-demand reports probably surprised some of the traders, and they'll be continuing to watch impact on the market. The grain market today, wheat futures down with the Minneapolis Grain Exchange spring wheat tumbling more than 3% after USDA surprised traders by raising the estimate of the U.S. spring wheat crop despite the summer drought that we've been talking about since early June. And I would guess the wheat situation will be one that will be widely discussed and disputed by the wheat trade around the world. Soybean and corn futures rose roughly 1% in today's activity. The government put the U.S. all wheat crop at 1,741,000,000 bushels. That's above the average trade estimate of 1,718,000,000 bushels. Corn and soybeans rallied after the USDA's quarterly stocks figures for both crops came in below trade expectations. Soybean stocks as of September 1 at 301 million bushels. That's up about 53% from a year ago. But one trader still said, it's a little friendly for the beans, having it go down to 301 million bushels. There was some fear that production was overestimated last year, and that would show up in this report. But obviously, it did not happen. So then turning to the livestock story for the week, the bulk of the Chicago Mercantile Exchange lean hog contracts today finished higher, ignited by some fund buying and short covering. Futures rallied from earlier losses today and prior to late Thursday's USDA quarterly pig crop report. As we said, that report was mildly supportive for futures because most of the results were close to forecasts, but the data also confirmed continued herd growth, and that, of course, is a bearish market factor. But Don Roos with U.S. Commodities said there is nothing in Thursday's report that says the cash market is going to do a 180 and turn even higher. Cattle market, well, live cattle gained for a third straight session today, helped by end-of-quarter positioning as traders waited for remaining cash cattle to change hands. And then there's another interesting story that made some news this week in the world of agriculture. Animal advocates keeping a close watch on Congress amid concern that a moratorium on horse meat production may be in jeopardy. Now, you remember Congress shut down the industry nearly a decade ago by cutting off funds for meat inspectors at USDA. But in July, a key House committee approved an annual farm spending bill that would lift the ban. The full House then ratified that shift in policy for the first time in 2 years, opening the door to revival of an industry that many Americans find repugnant, but which some horse owners view as a practical way to dispose of unwanted livestock. Because at the time, we were opposed to that move because that leaves horses to be turned loose, to be victims of predators and starvation and disease and everything else. Two of the three U.S. slaughterhouses serving the export market before the 2006 ban were in North Texas, in Kaufman and Fort Worth. And horse meat, of course, is consumed in a number of countries, including Mexico, Japan, France, and Belgium. And at one time during World War II, it was part of the American diet as well. So looking ahead next week, well, the beginning of a new month, the beginning of a new quarter, and who knows where the market will, who knows where the market will go at any time. But at any rate, we're going to start trading December corn at 355 and a quarter Monday, November soybeans at 968 and a quarter, and December wheat will start trading at 448 and a quarter. The lean hog contract for December will start trading at 59.95. The live cattle contract for December will start the week at 115.25 a hundredweight. And the October feeder cattle contract will start trading next week at $152.22 a hundredweight. Well, that's our time. Along with Max Armstrong, I'm Orion Samuelson. Thank you for joining us on The Markets, sponsored by the CME Group.